Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into a story that many of you probably remember unfolding. It's about GoPro.
Yeah, that spectacular rise and then, well, the fall. It's quite something.
Exactly. From this, like, niche gadget for surfers to a massive $11 billion company,
yeah.
And then poof, almost disappearing into penny stock territory.
It really is a huge cautionary tale for anyone in business, honestly.
So that's our goal today, right? We've got sources covering the whole journey, the highs, the lows.
Right. And we want to pull out the key lessons. What can you actually learn from this? Things about, you know, timing, focus, and building something that actually lasts, not just a flash in the pan.
Okay, let's dive in. Where did it all start? The very beginning.
Well, it kicked off back in 2002. The founder, Nick Woodman, he was a surfer.
Right. I remember reading that. He was just frustrated, wasn't he? Couldn't get good action shots of himself surfing.
Exactly. Couldn't get those cool angles, hands-free. So the first product, super simple. It was just a 35mm film camera, plastic, strapped to your wrist.
Wow. 35mm of film. Seems ancient now.
It does.
Yeah.
But, you know, it solves his problem. But that wasn't the big breakthrough.
No. What was?
The real game changer, the moment of, let's say, perfect timing, was when they shifted to digital, mid-2000s.
Okay. Digital. That makes sense.
It made all the difference. Because think about what else was happening right then. YouTube launches in 2005. Social media is exploding.
Oh, right. So suddenly everyone wanted to share video.
Precisely. You weren't just filming your awesome ski run for yourself anymore. You wanted to upload it, show everyone. And GoPro was suddenly the perfect tool. Rugged, simple, captured the action.
And that led to that amazing marketing phenomenon, didn't it? The user-generated content.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They didn't need some huge ad budget, not at first anyway.
Yeah.
Their own customers were creating the best ads possible.
Just unbelievable footage, you know? Skydiving, mountain biking, crazy stunts, all uploaded with the GoPro logo basically watermarked on it.
It was organic, viral gold. Made them a household name without spending billions on traditional ads. Pure genius, or maybe just perfect timing again.
And the money followed. Big time. What were the numbers again?
Get this. 2011, revenue hits $284 million.
Yeah.
Fast forward just 2 years, 2013, they're nudging $1 billion. And profitable.
$1 billion, wow.
Then came the IPO in 2014. Huge buzz, blockbuster event. Shares soared.
Well, this valuation peaked at almost $11 billion.
Yep, $11 billion. They positioned themselves cleverly, too, like part Apple sleek tech innovation.
And part Red Bull, that adrenaline junkie lifestyle brand feel.
Exactly, that hybrid.
Yeah.
But even then, at that absolute peak, our sources show trouble was brewing internally.
Like what? Growing pains?
Big time. They went from maybe 50 employees to over 1,500 really fast. That kind of growth, it almost always leads to bureaucracy, less agility. Silos start forming.
And while that was happening inside, the outside world wasn't standing still either.
Not at all. The big one was smartphones. Apple, Samsung.
Yeah.
Their cameras were getting seriously good. High quality video, stabilization, editing apps.
All on the device people already had in their pockets.
Right. So for the casual user, the person who just wanted a decent holiday video, why buy a separate GoPro? The phone was becoming good enough.
Okay, so smartphones are eating into the casual market. What else?
Competition. Loads of cheap knockoffs started flooding the market, mostly from China. Doing similar things, looking similar,
yeah,
but costing way less, like a third of the price sometimes.
So pressure from above with smartphones, pressure from below with knockoffs. What did GoPro's leadership do?
This is where things really started to go off the rails, according to the analysis. Instead of doubling down on the core camera, making it indispensable, they started chasing other dreams.
The media empire idea.
Yeah, shifting focus away from hardware towards becoming this, like, content company.
But hold on, wasn't that potentially smart, trying to diversify? Like Red Bull does with Red Bull Media House. Build a brand beyond just the product.
Well, the idea might seem sound on the surface, but the execution, it was flawed. Red Bull's media stuff supports the drink. It builds the brand around the core products through events, sponsorships. GoPro tried to build a whole separate business out of content and advertising. They poured resources, engineering talent, management attention into it.
Just when they needed all hands on deck fighting the iPhone camera improvements.
Exactly. And guess how much revenue that big media push generated from advertisers?
Uh-oh. Let me guess. Not much.
Zero. Zilch. Nada. Meaningful revenue, anyway. It was a massive distraction, a classic case of chasing the next shiny object while the core business was under attack.
And that lack of focus, that distraction, it showed up in the products too, right? Big failures.
Oh, yeah. really damaging ones. Let's talk about the Hero 4 session in 2015.
Okay, the session, what was the deal with that one? It was smaller, right? Cube-shaped.
Yeah, compact. But the killer mistake was the price. They launched it at $399.
Which was the same price as their main camera, the full-featured Hero 4.
Precisely. The flagship model.
Yeah.
So customers looked at it and thought, wait, why would I pay the same amount for this smaller camera with fewer features, less capability? It made no sense.
Total confusion. You're paying the same for less value.
It bombed. Completely flopped. Sales dropped 31% that quarter. They had write-downs, and it led to the first big round of layoffs, about 7% of the staff. Customer trust took a massive hit.
Ouch. A 31% drop is huge, but that wasn't even the biggest product disaster, was it?
Nope. That dubious honor goes to the Karma drone in 2016.
Ah, yes, the drone. Their big move into the sky, priced around $800.
$799, yeah.
Yeah.
This was meant to be their next big thing, a whole new product category. Mm. Instead, it was a catastrophe.
What happened? Technical issues.
Massive ones. Units were literally losing power mid-flight and just falling out of the sky.
No way.
Oh, yes. Imagine buying an $800 drone and it just drops like a stone. They had to recall every single one.
The cost must have been enormous.
$375 million, the source's estimate. And trying to compete with DJI, the dominant player in drones at that point, is just way too late and the product wasn't ready. Another strategic blunder.
So the media empire generates nothing. The session confuses customers. The drone falls out of the sky.
And by 2018, they finally pulled the plug on the whole media division. Another 200 jobs gone. The damage, though, was pretty much done by then.
What did that do to their market share? They used to own the action cam space.
Owned, it is right. They were sitting at maybe 67%, even 70% market share at their peak.
Mm-hmm.
By this point, it had cratered down below 30%.
Wow, from 70% to under 30%?
And where are they now? 2025.
Mm.
The stock, it's trading under $1 a share. Penny stock territory.
But are they still making money? Yep. Selling cameras?
Well, yes and no. They still generate revenue, actually over $1 billion annually, which sounds okay on the surface. But get this. In 2024 alone, they posted a net loss of $430 million.
A $430 million LOSS on $1 billion in revenue. How is that even possible?
That's the real hangover from those earlier mistakes. Losing market leadership, losing customer trust. It costs a fortune to try and claw that back, if you even can. They're spending massively on sales and marketing just to tread water. That huge loss reflects the true cost of the session, the karma, the media distraction.
Okay, so pulling it all together, what are the big takeaways here for, you know, anyone listening who's building a business or leading a team?
Well, it feels like GoPro's incredible start was this potent mix of genuine insight, Woodman solving his own problem, and just brilliant timing with digital and social media.
Right, but the fall, that seems to come down to getting complacent and losing focus, failing to really value what the customer needed next.
I think that's fair. We can boil it down to maybe three core lessons. Lesson one, timing gets you in the game. It can even make you a star for a while, but it's never enough on its own. You have to keep adapting relentlessly.
Okay, lesson two.
Fight complacency like your life depends on it. Because it does.
Yeah.
The minute GoPro thought their camera was good enough for everyone, the smartphone was sneaking up and stealing their lunch, at least for the casual user.
And lesson three seems pretty clear from the drone and media fiascos.
Absolutely. Stay laser focused. Diversification sounds smart, but if it distracts you from protecting and innovating your core business, especially when it's under attack, it can be fatal. They neglected the camera right when they needed to be defending it most fiercely against smartphones.
Knowing these lessons is one thing, though. Actually doing it when you're riding high, when you feel untouchable, that's the hard part.
It really is. And this is where our sources brought up an interesting contrast, looking at a different kind of business culture, like the one Lumen fosters, as a sort of antidote.
Lumen. How does their approach prevent these kinds of pitfalls, especially that failure of focus?
Well, Lumen's whole philosophy is about building systems for sustained success, not just relying on that initial lucky break or brilliant idea. It's about embedding acumen into the culture.
Okay, how? Give me specifics.
Take customer-centric innovation. Their teams are actively trained to constantly audit products against what customers actually need, and crucially, what threats are emerging. So years ago, a Lumen-style team would have been wargaming the smartphone camera threat.
So proactively thinking, how do we stay essential alongside the phone, or offer something fundamentally different, not just reacting when sales start dropping.
Exactly. And they use structured frameworks to maintain focus. Things like BANT or similar methodologies aren't just for sales. They use them to qualify strategic initiatives.
BANT, budget, authority, need, timeline.
Right. Before pouring millions into, say, a drone project or a media division, they'd rigorously assess. Is there a validated customer need? Do we have the authority and resources? Is the timeline realistic? Does it fit the budget and strategy? That kind of discipline helps avoid those costly, shiny object chases like GoPro's media adventure.
That makes sense. Internal checks against wandering off course. But what about innovation? How do they avoid just offending old turf and actually create new value? You mentioned teaching customers.
Yeah, that ties into how they adapt methodologies like the Challenger sale. It's not just about selling what you have. It's about teaching your customers something new about their own business, challenging their assumptions.
Ah, showing them a need they didn't even realize they had.
Precisely. And then tailoring your solution to that newly understood need. For a camera company now, using a Challenger approach means working with core pro users, understanding their evolving workflows and innovating features, maybe ruggedness, specialized sensors, unique POV capabilities that phones can't replicate. It's about co-creating the future with your most demanding customers.
Which is the polar opposite of GoPro sort of resting on its laurels and getting blindsided.
Completely. It's about building that continuous innovation muscle, driven by deep customer insight and disciplined execution.
So it really comes back to that idea. GoPro's amazing start felt like luck or maybe inspired timing, but they didn't build the systems or the culture to sustain it. They couldn't translate that initial spark into long-term focused innovation.
They nailed the sprint, but completely stumbled in the marathon.
Yeah.
And if you think about the bigger picture here, it leaves us with a really provocative question, something for you listening to consider. We saw how disruption, social media, digital video built GoPro, and then how other disruption smartphones helped tear it down. So the question is, for a company that's currently successful, how much energy should you dedicate to just defending your existing success, your current market share, versus actively trying to create the next disruption? Even if that next thing might eventually make your own current products obsolete.
Wow, yeah. That idea of intentionally cannibalizing your own success to survive long term.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the uncomfortable reality of staying relevant in a world that changes as fast as this one does. Something to definitely mull over.